Proof, proof, and more proof. Proof, proof, and more proof. There's one thing that's really concerned me the last year of my teaching ministry and preaching ministry, and as a Christian, and that is the Lord is really not getting quality in His people anymore. Now, I'm not saying this about you, but I'm just saying as a general rule, God is not getting quality. I don't know the reason for this. I hear this is a problem that faces all of society, that we're not getting quality workers in our manufacturing plants, we're not getting quality people in our offices, we're not getting quality people on our showroom floors to sell us merchandise, we don't have quality people to fix the things that break. It seems that when something happens, it happens throughout all of society, and the church is a part of society, and we're not getting quality in the church. Not the kind of quality that the Lord wants. Now, we are also living in a day when more and more we're finding it necessary to demand that people give us proof for everything. If you cash a check, I automatically now just reach in my back pocket because I know somebody's going to ask me for my driver's license. They want proof of my identity. And that's pretty well true of everybody else. If you want to buy something by a check, with a check, they're going to ask you for proof that you're you. And I don't know how the driver's license proves you're you, but I guess when I look at the picture, that pretty well proves it. I don't know. If your picture's like mine, it doesn't prove a whole lot. But anyway, if you go to return an item to a store, or if you're in a store and you walk out of the store, that's one thing now you better have, and that's proof of purchase. If you don't have that, they won't take the merchandise back. If you don't have that, they may charge you with shoplifting and send you off to jail. You got to have proof. If there's a special day in somebody's life in your family, then that person, that family, expects on that day proof of your love for them. If it's an anniversary, if it's a birthday, whatever the special day is, when that day arrives, somebody wants proof of your love. If you sell something that's used, or you want to buy something that is used, you want proof of the condition of the item you're buying. If somebody says, oh, this thing here works real good, I will say, plug it in. I want to see it work. I don't believe anybody anymore. I want proof. And even then you can get cheated. If you go to apply for a job, first thing they want is proof of experience. I mean, you may walk in and say, oh, I'm an expert carpenter. I want proof. Pick up a hammer, get some nails. Or let me have the name of the last guy you work for. I want proof. Today, nobody trusts anybody. If you're absent from school, what's the teacher want? Proof excuse. They want proof. Have your mom and daddy write down there what you did. I want proof. I don't believe you, kid. I don't believe a kid in school. You write, get that, and then I want proof of that. So we're living in a world where everybody says, I want proof, or I won't believe. This is ingrained in us from the time almost now that we learned to talk. I was told, don't take anybody's word. You get it in writing. Get yourself some proof. Don't take anybody's word. And yet, you know, most of us resent having our word questioned. We resent having to give people proof of things. Yet we're living in times when a man's word is no longer his bond. I feel like, in all honesty, my word is my bond. If I say I'll do something, I'll do it. You don't have to get anything in writing. You don't have to get a notary to sign it. You don't have to get a judge to back it up. I mean, if I say it, I'll do it. And that's the way it used to be, but that's not the way it is anymore. A man's word is not his bond. The expression I used to use is, I can't trust him as far as I can throw a bull. And you know how far I can throw a bull. I can't even pick up one's foot, much less throw him. The old Indian used to say, man speaks with forked tongue. And today he seems to have a lot of forks on his tongue. We have people promise one thing, and then they do another. We call this false advertising. They promise you one thing, but they give you something else. And so proof is fast becoming something that's just every day a thing we ask for. We just sort of expect it. Now, when you have the same situation that I talked about a while ago, the church cannot be separated from society. And so the church comes along and involuntary is proof. Proof. I want some proof. Now, the first proof that I find most young Christians wanting is proof of salvation. We call it the assurance of salvation. Assurance that they are forgiven. Assurance that if they died, they would go to heaven. They're heaven bound. They want proof. They even come to God. Now, God, I want some proof that I'm saved, that I'm forgiven, that I'll go to heaven. I want some proof. God, the assurance of salvation. Now, can you give them any proof? I never offer anyone proof for salvation. What are you going to tell them? I don't have any proof. You have to take it at God's word. God said, if I will give my life to Him, if I will confess my sins, if I'll make Him my Lord and Savior, then God says, I will forgive you, I will take you to heaven, you'll be a part of my family. And God says, you have my word on it. Oh, but we're living in a day when God, I don't take anybody's word, I want proof. And God says, there is no proof. There is no proof. It's all done by faith. Either you believe what I tell you, or you'll not believe. So there is no way that I can offer somebody a guarantee, handwritten document from heaven that says they are forgiven and they are going to heaven when they die. I cannot produce any absolute, concrete, visible, tangible proof for salvation. Either you believe it on God's word or you're not going to have any proof. And so somebody wants proof of salvation, I can't give it to them. You're going to have to trust the word of God. You're going to have to take God at His word, and that's called faith. And that's the only assurance that I can give anybody regarding salvation if they want proof. The Bible says God will save you if you'll repent. Give your life to Him. He'll make you His child. That's His promise. And the only proof I have is His word. That's it. Now, on the other hand, God says to His children, I want proof. I want proof of your conversion. Now that's a whole new ball game. I want proof that you're a child of mine. I want proof from you that you've been made a new creature. I want proof from you that you've been changed. Now you know what a lot of Christians says? Well, God, you had to take my word for it. That horse won't trot. God, you just take my word for it. And we go around saying, I'm a child of God. I'm His. I've been changed. I've been redeemed. We're saying all this, but God said, I want some proof. I want some concrete, verifiable, tangible proof that you're a part of my family. And we say, well, just take my word for it. And He says, no. No. Not only that, folks, but you know, I won't take anybody's word for that. I too say that I have a right to demand proof of a man who says to me he's a Christian. I have a right to say I'll believe it when I see it. I want the proof. Sometimes people say, well, so-and-so got saved. And I think to myself, well, maybe he did, and maybe he didn't. And I'm not going to make any decision until I get some proof. I don't take any man at his word regarding conversion. Because conversion means you have been transformed and changed by the power of God. If that's true, then I want to see it. If I drive up in front of your house and I say, and I used to have an old car that was shot, it didn't have any fenders, it was all rusted up, it wouldn't hardly run, and I drive up in front of your house and say, hey man, I got a new car. I look out there and I say, what's the proof? If you told me and the car was hidden behind my garage or somewhere out inside the house, and I didn't see it, and you said, hey, I want to see my new car. I'd want to see his car. I wouldn't take his word for it. And when I saw it, then I say, hey, that's the same old car you used to have, man. It's still rusted out. It still has no fenders. What do you mean it's a new car? I don't see any conversion in your car. I want proof. Now you see, proof of conversion is not a matter of faith. Proof of salvation is a matter of faith. What God will give me and does for me is a matter of faith. But when it comes to proof of conversion, that's not a matter of faith, that's a matter of fruit. That's a matter of concrete change. It ought to be visible. So Jesus looks for proof in the area of our being a fruit bearer. Now look, if you will, at John 15, 1 through 8. You all have read this time and time again. Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or gardener. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Verse 2, you have fruit, and you have more fruit. In verse 5 and 8, you have much fruit. So you have fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Now I'm going to do something this morning for you. I want you to change, or with you, the word fruit, and put there in its place the word proof. Every branch in me that beareth not proof, he takes away. And every branch that beareth proof, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more proof. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much proof. So shall ye be my disciples. That change really did nothing to harm that verse. What is true conversion? True conversion turns a person into a disciple of Christ. Jesus said, go into all the world and make what? Disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a person who can give you proof of his conversion. If he cannot give you proof of his conversion, he may be a professor, but he is not a disciple. That's very important. A disciple is a person that can give you proof of his conversion. And so true conversion results in producing disciples. What did Jesus say? The Father wants you to bear much fruit, because in so doing, you will be my disciples. If I have a fruit tree, you know the only proof I really have that I have a fruit tree. Well, you say, well, it's got a label stuck on there. You buy it at the store and it says, you can go down and buy one from Kmart or somebody else. And it's got a little tag. It says, peach tree. You couldn't prove it by me. It might be a pumpkin tree. It might be a honeysuckle tree. I don't know what the thing is. I don't know what, but it's got a little sign on there. It says tree. Peach tree. I go stick that thing in my yard. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not a peach tree until I see a peach on it. And if it never bears a peach, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a peach tree. I don't care what anybody says. So, if you are a disciple, the way you identify a disciple is by the proof of the fruit or the change that is in their life as a result of Christ being in their life. Now, not only does God ask for proof, but he asks for proof, and more proof, and much proof. Now, in this connection of asking for proof of our conversion, look at Matthew 7:20. Jesus makes this comment, by their fruits you shall know them. In other words, I am to look at you, and as God looks at me, and we shall know each other, and he shall know us by the fruit. The fruit is the proof that we bear. Now, what is the fruit that Jesus is looking for as proof of conversion? What is the proof he is looking for as proof of discipleship? What is the proof? Well, if you will, read verse 21. Now, the proof is not my being able to say, Jesus is my Lord. It's not it. That's like saying, I am a peach tree. That doesn't make it so. Jesus is the Lord. That doesn't make it so. All right. Jesus said, Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What's Jesus saying? You've got to have more than a label hanging on your branch. You've got to have more than the label. But he that does the will of my Father, how are you going to know that? You got proof there. I know when I'm doing the will of my Father. You know when I'm doing the will of my Father. He knows when I'm doing the will of my Father because it's very evident. It's very obvious. Obedience to the Lord is the proof. It is the fruit. It is what the disciple has as a result of conversion. Now, go on. 22. Many will say to me in that day of judgment, still, Lord, we call you Lord. Not only that, but we have prophesied in your name, and we've cast out devils in your name, and we've done many mighty works in your name. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Why? Why? What was wrong with it? What was the proof that he was looking for? Go back up here. And that is, do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not just a few good works, but a very good life. It's also required. He calls them here workers of iniquity. Proof is not professing that Jesus is the Lord, but it's proving that Jesus is your Lord. By doing what? By doing what the Father asked us to do. Look at Luke 6:46. Luke 6:46. Jesus said, why call me Lord? Why refer to me under that title? Why call me the King and then do not the things that I asked you to? How can you call me the Lord and not obey me? Now, I believe today in the church we got a lot of folks singing about the Lord and mentioning the name of the Lord and using the Lord bumper stickers and pens who have never offered any proof that he is their Lord. What do you mean, make Jesus Lord? Let me show you. Because you see him doing that, that makes you a disciple. What is a disciple? Let's go back and look at the very first people Jesus called to be disciples. You'll get an idea of what it means to give proof of conversion. To give proof that you're a disciple. What do you have to do? All right, go to Matthew 4. Every time I read this, I have a lot of questions that I would like to ask, but it really gives you a picture of what Jesus wants as proof of conversion. To talk about quality, you see it here. All right, let's begin in chapter 4:18. Now, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He looked over and he saw two brothers. One was Simon, called Peter, and the other was Andrew, his brother. Now, these men weren't doing nothing. These men were busily occupied in their trade. They were busy. They were sweating. They were hot. This was their lifelong trade. They were casting their net in the sea. And they were fishermen. Now, Jesus just walked up to these very busy men. And you get the picture. And then he just simply said, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Now, they dropped their nets. They left their boats. They left their lifetime occupation. They left their security and just walked off and followed him. Now, if you want proof that these two boys had made Jesus Lord, I don't know much more you could ask for. It'd be like me walking up to you and you owned a business and you were busy in your business. And I just said to you, follow me. And you just shut down the business, turned off the light, shut the door at that moment, and just start walking up to me. Now that's a disciple. That would be proof. That'd be proof of real conversion. Now what would we normally hear from people if you said this? Well, we're busy right now, Jesus. Can't you see we're in the middle of our fishing? We got to make a living. We don't have time right now to follow you. Now, we understand it may be important, but we're busy right now. That's the first thing a disciple stops singing. Well, I'm busy right now, Jesus. Proof of conversion means that I quit saying that. I quit saying, I don't have time for you, King. I have my own interests to look after. I don't have time right now for you. A disciple quits saying that. Proof of true conversion is when the king says jump, the disciple jumps and doesn't say, well, right now I'm doing something else. We don't really have quality disciples anymore, do we? They could have said, but Jesus, we have plans. We're in the process of doubling our boat fleet. We're in the process of expanding our nets and hiring more men. Well, we've got other plans that don't involve and can't really figure into leaving all this and following you. I mean, we've got money tied up in this, and we've got investments, and we've got long-range goals to get more money in the bank. I'm sorry, Jesus, but our plans don't really agree with that. There's a conflict of interest here. Now, folks, a disciple stops thinking that way. A true sign of conversion means that when Jesus says, here is my plan, then the disciple says, well, my plan goes down the drain. I don't think a lot of us really comprehend what is meant by proof of conversion. Now, the disciples could have said, they weren't disciples yet, but they got to be disciples by proving they were going to follow Jesus. But they could have said, well, we have other commitments, other obligations that we've got to fulfill. We have to get these fish to the market. Somebody's counting on us. We have contracts. Jesus said, I want proof of discipleship. And he said, follow me and I will make you disciples. What's a disciple? He's the person who is willing to constantly prove that Jesus is the boss. He's the person that's constantly willing to prove that Jesus wears the crown, that Jesus is the head, that Jesus is the Lord. How does he prove this? He does what he's asked. If it means that it cost him something, he still does what he's asked. Now, Jesus is still seeking disciples. A lot of folks say, well, Jesus is looking for somebody to save. No, Jesus is looking for somebody he can convert. The whole world wants to be saved, but not many in the world want to be converted. And that's one of the great problems in evangelism. You got a lot of folks that want Jesus to be their Savior, but not very many folks that want Jesus to be their Lord. Why? Because they know good and well he just might walk up to them someday and say, drop your nets and follow me, and they have other plans and other commitments and other ideas. Everybody wants to be saved, but not very many folks want to be converted. The disciple will be where Jesus is because that's necessary if you're going to follow him. If I follow you, I'll be where you are. I don't mean follow 5 years behind you. And that's one of the great things about a disciple, you see. Wherever Jesus goes, the disciple follows. Now look at Matthew 28:19. King James is in error here. I mentioned this to my Sunday school class this morning, but really King James is wrong in the 19th verse. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Really, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. To make disciples of all nations. Then, notice, baptize them. Then notice, once they are made disciples, they're committed men, then you teach them what God wants them to do. Those are three chores or three obligations that we're involved in as God's people. Making new disciples, baptizing them, and then teaching them how to be obedient men of God. Now look at Acts 11:26. Acts 11:26. Now notice, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now notice, it's here that the disciples came to be called Christians. First in Antioch. What is a Christian? A Christian is a person who is willing to give proof of his conversion. How about that for definition of a Christian? A Christian is a person who is willing to give proof that he is a disciple. To give visible, outward, tangible proof. What is a disciple? He is a Christian. He is a Christ-oriented one. He is a Christ-committed one. He is a Christ-follower. He is a Christ-crowner. That is, he crowns in Lord. Jesus still says, I'm looking for disciples. What is a disciple? A person who's willing to give you proof that he has been converted and that he is a follower of Christ. He is willing to give you proof. And he's willing to give God proof. Now look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. I believe this is what Paul is talking about in this verse. Paul says, examine yourselves. Look for the proof. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Whether you be a disciple. Whether you be a Christian. Prove to your own self. Prove to your own satisfaction. Know yourself. Do you see Christ in you? Do you see yourself to be a disciple? No one knows better than you. And look for the proof in your own life. Is there a desire in your life to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Alright? Examine yourself for the fruit. Examine yourself for the fruit. Certify your own profession. See if you are committed to following Him. Now, Jesus was not impressed by those who said, Lord, Lord. The only thing that impressed Christ is proof of commitment. Now, the Father looks for fruit. The Father looks for proof. Proof of what? Proof that you see His Son to be your Lord. Proof that you are committed to His way and to His Word. Proof that you stand with Jesus and not against Him. Proof that you'll help Him and not hinder Him. Proof of conversion. Proof of discipleship is proof that is daily asked of me and is asked of you. There are times when I fail. But I know there are other times when I give God proof of conversion. There's a lot of areas that need clean up, and there's a lot of work that's done in my life. But I can lay my finger on certain areas of my life where there's proof that Jesus is the Lord and I am His disciple. And you can't prove this by faith. You got to prove this by your deeds. Now there's no way that I can prove to you Jesus is your Savior. But there are many ways that I can prove that Jesus is your Lord, and that you can prove the same thing. All you have to do is ask, is He in control? Am I allowing Him to take charge of my life? Am I allowing Him to change my life? Am I joining Him, accompanying Him, following Him? Am I with Him? How do you prove that Jesus is the Lord? How do you prove it? Well, Adam and Eve had a forbidden tree of knowledge of good and evil to prove their commitment. I don't have a tree, but I got a lot of other things. Sometimes I feel like we don't quite understand sermons, so I'll try to make it even more simple. Every time the offering plate passes right by in front of your face, you have a chance to prove if you're a disciple. Peter left his nets. He left his fortune. Every time the plate goes by, you have a chance to prove if you're a disciple. Every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening, you have a chance to prove if Jesus is the Lord. Doesn't take much difficulty to do it. You have a chance to prove who is the boss. Who is running your life. That's just a very simple way that you have proof. Every time you're watching television and an unwholesome television program comes on that suggests things contrary to the mind and will of God, you have a chance to prove, is Jesus Lord or not? Will you watch what you want to watch, or will you watch what He wants you to watch? Do you prove every day that you're a disciple? Every time you go to the grocery store and you get overchange, you have a chance to prove that Jesus is the Lord. Every time you're tempted to get angry, you have a chance to prove that Jesus controls you. Proof proof and more proof. That's what every day is all about. When people see me and when people see you, can they say, he's a follower of Christ? He is a disciple of Christ. There's no doubt about it. Are we proving by our lives that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? A disciple is a person, and I'll close with this, who's out to prove something. If you don't get anything else, get this. A disciple is out to prove something. He's not out to prove that God is great. He's not out to prove the Bible is true. A disciple is out to prove that he's God's man. He's out to prove that he's been converted. He's just out to prove that he's a follower committed to Christ. That's all he's doing. Every day he lives, his purpose is to prove to himself, to God, and everybody else that he's different now. That he's a man that sides with Christ and walks with Christ and serves Christ and pleases Christ. He makes it a point when he works at the job, when he's at home, when he's on the telephone, when he's talking to people, when he's watching television, when he's going to church, no matter what, where, and when he's doing things. He's always saying, I'm going to prove to Christ, to myself, and to others that I've been converted, that I'm different, that I'm a Christ one. That's all he is. He's trying to prove something, that he's converted. Father, we're thankful this day for the patience you have with us, as so often we do not prove this. To our own sorrow and sadness and regret, we prove it to ourselves first. We become ashamed of ourselves because truly we have committed ourselves to you. We're thankful this day that you are willing to work with us time and time again. And help us to realize that it's quality that you want, and it's proof that we must continually give to indicate our spiritual growth, to indicate our serious commitment and our loyalty, to make ourselves fit servants. Help us to realize that every day, in every way, at every moment, that we must seek to prove to ourselves and to everybody else, including you, that we are converted, that we're new men, and that we walk a narrow way. Help us to prove, and thus we'll be more fruitful every day. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.